feel like I've been to
church after that
song. Good morning. Great to worship with y'all this morning. We've been walking through the book of Mark. If you have your Bibles, we're God willing going to finish Mark chapter 2 and get into Mark chapter 3. But I wanted to give you a reminder. Why Mark wrote this letter in the first place. It's found in the very opening verse. Mark 1:1, and you don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. It says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. That's how he opens his gospel. That's the purpose of the letter, to give us the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus is the Messiah, the one that we have desperately been crying out for generations and generations. He has come to take our rightful spot on the cross, to bear our shame, to bear our sins, to be separated from the Father so that we can take His spot, His righteousness, to take our sin and exchange it for righteousness. And not only did He go to the cross and die, but He was resurrected because we know that our God lives. And that's what Mark's getting to. And every story we read in the Gospel of Mark points us to that. And I want to see and point out how quickly Mark gets to this point here in the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. We're at the end of chapter 2, and we already see something that Jesus is debating with the religious leaders. Last week, the Pharisee asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples fast?" And now, today, the Pharisees are going to ask another question to Jesus about the Sabbath, the day of rest. And by the start of chapter 3, this escalates to the point of them asking Jesus questions, to them wanting to see Jesus die. Talking about the Sabbath today, which for the majority of people in the current church as a whole almost completely neglect or downplay. I mean, we live in a society where the majority of people are constantly tired, constantly overwhelmed and burned out. And it's interesting, we live in a time and place where we put a high cost on comfort. We have access to so many tools to help us rest. More access to comfort, more access to vacations and entertainment than any other time in the world. Things that say that do this and it'll refresh your mind. It'll give you rest. But how many this morning, rhetorically, are tired? How many are overwhelmed? How many are exhausted? Why do you think when we decided to remodel, we knew that we had to have a place where we served coffee? So we're going to talk about the Sabbath this morning, not as this optional thing that Scripture talks about every once in a while, but something the Scripture constantly brings up, an important command from God. And we see it modeled from God the Father Himself. He creates everything, and then on the seventh day, He rests. And think of the people that He told to Sabbath. The people that He first told to Sabbath knew nothing but slavery for over 700 years. They all had masters that had beaten them down and they did not allow them rest. And God institutes the Sabbath for His people as a day of rest. And we see throughout all of Scriptures and especially in the prophets where God's people are chastised for rebuking the Sabbath. And God is showing them that He is a different master than what they were used to. You're not slaves anymore. You're my people. And we're going to see today that the Pharisees, first of all, that they misunderstand the purpose of the Sabbath. And two, they completely neglect to honor the Sabbath the way that Jesus shows them. And it's a big deal because the Sabbath is something that they could tangibly take a hold of to point at themselves and say, look how good I am doing. So if you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 22. If you didn't bring your Bibles this morning, it should be up on the screens. Mark chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples walking along, they began to pick up some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And he answered, Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Let me read that again. Then he says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. So Jesus and his disciples, they're walking through this wheat field, and it's on the Sabbath, and Jesus' disciples, we know, are picking the grabbing the grains, the heads of the grain to eat. And like normal, Jesus has a crowd following him, and many times in this crowd, almost every time, there are Pharisees, and they took notice of Jesus' disciples picking the grain, and they asked Jesus, what in the world is going on? How do you allow them to do this on the Sabbath? Now the Pharisees, the Jews had an amazing amount of laws on the Sabbath. There are 39 major categories of activities that you are not allowed to do on the Sabbath. And within these 39 major categories, there are hundreds and thousands of laws. It was called the Oral Torah, the Talmud. They were written down eventually. And it's about, if you wrote it down today, it would be about the size of the New and Old Testament combined. And the goal of it was to explain the gray areas in the Ten Commandments. See, all the Ten Commandments have a bit of gray area in them, right? Most laws have a bit of gray in them. They're not all black and white. You can take something as simple as do not murder. Is that black and white? Pretty black and white, but there's little gray areas about war, about rightful punishment, all kinds of little areas of gray. But how about this? Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. What does that mean? Well, they came up with thousands and thousands of laws of what this meant and what it didn't mean. And the disciples are picking up grain on the Sabbath. And they broke several laws in major categories. Not allowed to reap. Not allowed to gather. Not allowed to extract or to separate. You see, the Pharisees, they spent their entire life trying to live up to the law. In fact, that's where they found their identity. That's where they found their God, was in these laws. So as they see Jesus' disciples doing this on the Sabbath, not only are they offended, but they're truly shocked. And Jesus tells them a story about King David and his men. And the basic story is that David and his men, they ate some bread that they weren't supposed to eat on the Sabbath. And God didn't punish them because they did it out of need. And Jesus is saying the point here is that the Pharisees, you're missing the point of the Sabbath. And Jesus says, God gives us the Sabbath. Look at what he says in verse 27. Then he said to him, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You see, when God rested on the seventh day, did God need rest? No, he's God, right? God did not need rest, but it was for his people. See, the Sabbath was not a new burden that God was putting on his people. Remember, he was telling them as slaves. He was freeing them from that burden. And we are God's people. And the Sabbath is not about carrying a bigger burden. It's not about new and hundreds and thousands of laws to worry about, but to lighten our burden. He says, Pharisees, you've missed the point. Man was not made for the Sabbath. And in these rules and in these regulations, we lose sight of what the Sabbath is for. You know, you can't start a fire on the Sabbath. Which means you can't drive a car because a car continuously combusts and uses fire. You know, you can't turn a light on in the Sabbath. So you have to prepare. You know, when you open the fridge, what happens? A light comes on. So you have to think about these things ahead of time because it's considered work. And you can't use an elevator on the Sabbath because the act of pushing a button, so you got to take the stairs. And you see that all these rules and all these laws really miss the point. And Jesus is saying the Sabbath is a blessing to you. It's a gift from God. And look at verse 28. A verse that absolutely changes the game for Jesus' story. A statement that would infuriate the Pharisees. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus says, this day finds greater purpose in me. Jesus said, I decide what is proper and not proper for the Sabbath. I decide what's rest for me. God is more gracious and more generous than the Pharisees could ever understand or give him credit for. And Jesus, what he's ultimately saying here is, I am Lord of the Sabbath. I am rest. If we don't know Jesus, we will never know rest. You don't have to turn there, but Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you got to feel for the Pharisees. I mean, they're trying. They're absolutely trying, but they misunderstood. They made the Sabbath their master. They made the Sabbath their Lord instead of God, which is ultimately why grace is so amazing. God gives us all these laws. We have all these rules to show us that we will never stack up. We need a Savior. We need Him today. We need Him every day. And that's what they're supposed to do, is point us to Him. To realize how much we need Him. Without Him, we can't do anything on our own. The law and the Sabbath points us to our Savior. It points us to Him. And by grace, we are no longer under law, but we are under the law of grace. So we can't say to ourselves, well, these Pharisees, they should have known better. They should have been able to read the Old Testament. They should have known the law better. They should have known the purpose of it. Why don't they get it? They knew the Word of God. Why don't they get it? How often do we obey God and the rules that He sets in front of us so we can impress God? God, I'll do my best to impress you. God, I'll work day and night to show you how great I am. And if Christ is our Lord and Savior, God says, my Son is in you. I could not be more impressed with you. We can't put the law over Him. That is why Jesus had to teach constantly that He was greater than Moses. And it was something that they couldn't quite grasp, that He was greater than Moses. The one that brought the law. And some of us today act as if Moses is greater than Jesus. When we act that if the law is our relationship with God rather than through Christ. Christianity says that we came to God through Christ and nothing else. Not a righteousness of our own. Especially nothing that we can do and follow the law close enough. It is through Christ, the grace that he gives us and nothing else. So what is the Sabbath? What is the Sabbath today? And the first thing I like to do when I define something is define what it's not. The Sabbath is not a day of inactivity. That's part of it. It's not about wearing your pajama pants all day, lounging around watching TV. It's not about binging Netflix or hanging out with your friends or family all day. Rest is not even found in vacation. Have you ever gone on vacation and come back and you're twice as tired? Rest is found in nothing else than Him. Oftentimes we take time off to rest, and we never rest in the Lord. And we ignore Him and we feel the same as we did before. Jesus teaches us over and over, rest is in me. The Sabbath is for you. And He is the Lord of Sabbath. And things are about to escalate here in Mark chapter 3. Mark 3, 1 through 5. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely. And they watched him to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." And then Jesus asked this question, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath to do, to do good or to do evil, to save or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed in their stubborn hearts and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians of how they might kill Jesus. We are in chapter 3. The beginning of chapter 3. And we're already seeing the cross. So they're in the synagogue right now. See, before they were in a remote field, but now they're in a public place of worship. And there's this man with a shriveled hand, and we know from Luke, because Luke is so much more descriptive than Mark, that it's his right hand. And we know, we can assume that his life was probably hampered because of his hand, that it wasn't as easy. I'm sure everyday things were more difficult for him. And the Pharisees, look at their demeanor. See, it only takes two full chapters for the Pharisees' demeanor to change. Remember, the last thing that he said in chapter 2 was, "So the Son of Man is Lord of even the Sabbath." And I believe that that was the straw that broke the camel's back. That was the point of no return for Jesus in their eyes. Because this man, Jesus just said, "I am bigger than your law." Took their religion, which was at this point probably nothing more than following the law, and he said that I am the Lord of that. And we see their demeanor change. They're no longer asking questions, which they did in the first two chapters. But some of them in verse 2 were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. They're just waiting. They could care less about this man with the shriveled hand, but they're waiting for Jesus to do something that they can accuse him of. They're done. No more talking. No more listening. They're just waiting. They don't want to hear what Jesus has to say anymore. And Jesus senses this. He understands their heart and calls the man with the shriveled hand over to him. Remember, this is a very public place. They're in the synagogue, and Jesus starts to publicly speak out against the Pharisees. Which is lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And they remain silent. He asks the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, "What's the point of this Sabbath? Should I heal this man or not?" Because to heal on the Sabbath was not acceptable, that you weren't allowed to do it unless it was to save life. This man had clearly been living with his hand for quite some time. His life was not in danger. And their response this time was silence. They're done. Verse 5. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. And you see, Jesus is conflicted. First of all, he's angry, and second of all, he's full of grief. He's angry that they have shut down, that they have stopped caring, that the law has become full of their hearts, and that's all that they follow. And he's full of grief because he knows how much they need him. Verse 5, he looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, and he said, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Can you imagine seeing that? He heals the man. He restores him. Makes things easier for him, and that's what the Sabbath is about. The Sabbath is about God's healing for his people, and the Pharisees, they didn't want to hear about it. The Sabbath is for man. God wants to give you rest. God desires to give you rest in him. And just like the Pharisees, many people today don't want to hear it or apply it. You just don't know how busy I am. I have too much to do. And people go weeks and months and years and an entire lifetime without taking 24 hours consecutively off without being sick. When was the last time you took a Sabbath? See, I've been there. And our brains start getting used to constant work, start getting used to constantly worrying about tomorrow, and it affects the most important thing that God gives us, and it's relationships. Relationship with him, relationship with others. Not taking a Sabbath affects our relationship with him, with our spouse, with our kids, and with our friends. Have you ever just had a problem shutting your brain off? Relaxing? Can't have a conversation with your spouse without thinking about what you have to do tomorrow? Can't play with your kids without checking your phone? Can't spend time with a God without your mind just wandering? Many of us don't know how to rest. We need rest. God designed us to rest. So what does rest look like for us today? What does it mean to rest? It tells us to take a day, 24-hour day once a week. It doesn't mean that we have to make it a Monday, a Tuesday. Take a day. Stop working so you can enjoy the Creator and His creation. Why do I say the creation? When God rested, He looked at His creation and He said, "What? It's good." He enjoyed the creation. And I can't tell you how to rest. Because your rest will look different from my rest. We can enjoy His creation in different ways. I want you to know I hate running. Absolutely hate running. I was in cross country in high school. I ran the 2 mile and the 1 mile in track, and I hated every minute of it. Running to me is a punishment. All I can think about when I run is when can I be done? How far do I have to go until I can stop? I do not enjoy it at all. But I know a lot of people do. Some people run and they have no care in the world. And this is a time that they can reflect on God. This is a time that they can spend with God and looking at His creation. And this is a way that they can shut off their brain from everything that's going on. We're all different people, and God gives us the ability to be creative on how we rest. For some of you, it'll be with time alone. You are sick and tired of people and dealing with them, and you need to be in isolation so that you can relax. And some people need to have fellowship with other people so they can relax. So we have all kinds of creative ways that we can enjoy God's creation. But when it comes to enjoying the Creator, it's almost always the same. At the end of the day, being in word and in prayer is the most practical way that we can spend time with God. Are there other ways? Absolutely. Can we meditate? Can we do all? Being in prayer and being in the word, to me, is the most practical way I can spend time with the Creator. going to God and hearing His Word and being healed through His Word and being able to take that and go to Him in prayer, to praise Him for who He is, to cast all your anxieties and your frustrations at His feet. So I have a challenge for you this week. If you haven't thought about it in a long time, if you haven't had a Sabbath in a long time, sit down and think, what is the perfect Sabbath for me? What does the day look like? Plan out the entire day. I did that this week. And I have to remember that my Sabbath will not look that way every week. You can plan for this perfection day of Sabbath, but it's not going to look like that every week, and that's okay. Don't be lorded by the Sabbath. The Sabbath is for you. It's not a legalistic rule, but it's a tool that God says, use this, find rest in me. Take advantage of it. When you carve out a day where you are intentional about resting, your mental health, your relationships, your spiritual health, and even your work benefits from it. Were y'all ever taught that work is a consequence of sin? I've always grown up thinking that part of the consequence of the original sin was work. But Adam and Eve, they worked before the fall. And work was a good thing. They worked together. They named the animals. But we have to rest from it and enjoy the Creator and His creation. Because I believe when you and I are taking a Sabbath, we're displaying the gospel that the Sabbath is about Him, about a loving, generous master. When God rested, He was pointing us to something. When God commanded us to rest in Exodus, He was pointing us at something. When Jesus affirmed the Sabbath as not a burden but rest, He is pointing us to something. The Sabbath is all about showing us what our life looks like under Christ. That we get to rest from our work because of the work that Jesus has done for us. Many of us feel like we can't take a day off because we can't afford it. Who is your provider? Where does your help come from? My help comes from You, Maker of heaven, Creator of heaven and earth. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Hebrews 4, 9 through 10. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from His. I want to end with this. The Sabbath is a reflection of what your relationship with God looks like. You don't have to work to impress God. If you are His child, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, He did the work for you. That's the point. We do not work and we reap the blessing. That's the gospel. We accept Him. We accept the cross. We allow Him to be Lord of our life. We allow Him to take over and we receive grace, the good news that Mark is talking about. We don't have to impress God with our work by following the laws and the rules. He's impressed with me because He is in me. God is impressed with you if Christ is living within you. So take a Sabbath. Find your rest in Him. And parents, I think it's important for you to display that for your kids. Show your kids what a Sabbath looks like. Not by saying, get out of here, I'm on my Sabbath. Tempting, I know. But I think it's important for us to display this to our kids as God displayed it to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are a God that we can rest in. Lord, we're sorry that we take some of the blessings that You give us and try to fill our lives with that blessing and neglect you. But God, help us understand that the Sabbath is a healthy thing for us to build our relationship with you. Lord, I pray for each and every person that's here today that knows you, God. I pray that they savor the time that they get to spend with you. To take them, their mind out of the world and to rest in you. And God, for those that don't know you, Lord, I pray that this morning they just get a glimpse of what peace with you looks like. That you are a God that cares about the big things and the little things of our life. A God that never forsakes us or abandons us. And it's all because of the good news of Jesus Christ that we can pray this. Amen.
Will you please stand and join hands across the aisle? Let's sing one more time. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to